It's another month and another TNA teleconference here at WrestlingEpicenter.com. This time we have the complete teleconference featuring the Motor City Machine Guns. Hope you guys enjoy it. Alex Shelley and Chris Sabin. Check out Destination X.
Hey everybody, just wanted to welcome you to the monthly TNA teleconference. It's March, which means it's Destination X time. That's happening this Sunday live on pay-per-view in Norfolk, Virginia. I'm going to go ahead and run down the pay-per-view lineup first for everybody. We have several matches that are going to be announced and put together coming into tonight's show on Spike. Let's start with the main event. In the main event, we're going to have Samoa Joe, Christian Cage, and Kevin Nash versus the Angle Alliance of Kurt Angle, Tom Coe, and AJ Styles. In the Elevation X match, we'll have the War Machine Rhino taking on Cowboy James Storm. The X Division title will be up for grabs as champion Jay Lethal, also known as Black Machismo, will take on the Maple Leaf Muscle, Petey Williams. We will have Booker T and Robert Roode with a stipulation to be announced. And then also in a women's title match, we'll have champion Awesome Kong taking on Gail Kim and taking on ODB. Obviously, there are several TNA superstars who have yet to be announced for this Sunday's pay-per-view, actually including our guests today. So you guys will have to tune in to Spike tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern to check out how everything shapes together for the pay-per-view this Sunday. Our guests today are the Motor City Machine Guns. If you are unaware, they'll also be appearing this Saturday on MTV on an episode of Made. That will air at noon Eastern time, and it's the episode called basically Pro Wrestler. To give you guys a quick synopsis, it involves a teenager named Chris Hendricks, and he's an openly gay high school student in Michigan who basically is tired of being stereotyped and as a weak guy, so he decides he wants to become a professional wrestler, and that's when the Made coaches, who are none other than Alex Shelley and Chris Sabin, the Motor City Machine Guns, come into play. It's an hour-long program and airs this Saturday at noon Eastern on MTV, so be sure to check that out. Without further ado, we're going to turn it over to the Motor City Machine Guns for questions and answers, and I do ask that you guys please ask one question per turn. You can always get back in the line. We'll make sure that we have enough time today for all the questions to get answered. And then also, if you have a question, I've asked the guns when they, if you ask the Motor City Machine Guns a question, I'll ask Alex and Chris to identify themselves before they speak. You can also ask a question that may be specific to Chris or maybe specific to Alex. So, operator, let's go ahead and turn it over to the Motor City Machine Guns.
At this time, I'd like to remind everyone, if you'd like to ask a question, press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Our first question comes from Steve Wilson.
How's it going, guys? Pleasure to speak with you today. A couple months back, you guys were named the 2007 Tag Team of the Year in TNA, and I was wondering if the quick rise in popularity of the Motor City Machine Guns has surprised either of you.
Repeat that. But there's a bunch of noise at the end. I couldn't hear what the question was.
No problem. A couple months back, you guys were named the 2007 Tag Team of the Year in TNA, and I was basically wondering if the quick rise in popularity of the Motor City Machine Guns has surprised either of you.
This is Chris. I don't know. I think that everything just kind of came together, and I think everything just seemed to work so well with us and stuff. And I mean, I would say I would be surprised. But, I mean, a little bit surprised, a little bit kind of, what I was hoping for and everything. So, I mean, we just clicked so well as a tag team and everything. So, I mean, it's been real cool.
This is Alex. I'd say I was a little bit surprised, especially considering that we weren't assembled in TNA as a tag team until about halfway through the year. And even then, we weren't featured as much as some of the other tag teams. I think it's a true testament to the fact that a lot of the TNA fans do want to see wrestling, and I think we present the style of wrestling that they're into. I also think that we have the advantage of being younger than almost any of the other wrestlers on the roster, and I think a lot of fans can relate to our sense of humor during our promos, and I think a lot of fans can relate to our sense of style and our characters because they're the same age as us, and we're appealing to that sort of demographic. as far as being surprised, yeah, a little bit surprised. But at the end of the day, I hope we get a lot more tag team awards, much like that one.
Question comes from Jason Clevitt.
Hey, guys. How's it going today?
Good.
So my question is, you guys are both fairly known both on-screen and off-screen as being practical jokers and have a pretty good sense of humor. Do you guys have a good practical joke story you could share with us?
Practical joke. Well, I got one for you. This is Chris. So one time we were back at the hotels, and, you know, sometimes I guess, you know, we like to jump on the bed. Who doesn't like to jump on a bed that's not theirs, you know? So Alex decided to take the ironing board and hide it underneath my sheets while my bed was still made. So when I jumped on the bed, straight on my back, I landed right on the ironing board. So, there you go. I'll be honest with you, I don't even remember doing that one. I got a pretty good one, too. In the locker room, we have several seats to sit in, but some of those seats are lawn chairs. It just so happened that one of those lawn chairs broke. We managed to cover it up pretty well and camouflage it with a towel, so you couldn't tell it was broken at all. In that process, we managed to convince Petey Williams, who's actually pretty
duck
talented.
Duck and cover, everybody. Duck and cover.
Hello?
Hello?
Hey, Guns, hang on a second. Hey, operator, somebody's line is coming through. Oh, no.
Awkward. All right. Anyway, Petey Williams managed to convince people to sit in a chair. So he could do card tricks with them. He's very good at sleight of hand. Every time somebody sat in a chair, it completely caved in, and they landed on their ass on the ground. I'd say that's one of my favorite memories of that locker room.
Question comes from Wade Needman.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Good, good.
Anyway, you know, in TNA, you guys got like Black Machismo and Shark Boy and stuff doing the impressions of wrestlers. I was wondering, can you guys do any outstanding like impressions of wrestlers?
Well, this is Chris. I honestly can't do really any good impressions of anyone. Yeah, this is Alex. I can't do any impressions of anybody either, and if you could, I probably wouldn't, just because I think TNA might make a gimmick out of it, which, given Black Machismo's career, I don't know, I guess that wouldn't be such a bad thing. He does a pretty flattering macho man, I'd say.
In the past few months, you guys have been working in tag teams with Team 3D, but the X Division has kind of taken a back seat in some ways. I was just curious on what you guys think the X Division is and what the status of it is right now and how the TNA has been treating it in recent weeks.
I had Alex. All right. As far as the X Division goes, I agree it hasn't been at the forefront of the company. Hopefully one day it does return to that. I think the X Division has a lot to offer, and I think it's something different than any other wrestling company has. But there's just so much on TNA's plate right now with the women's division, with the tag team division. I mean, I think a lot of the characters have transcended the X Division almost. I think it might be a better option to make something like New Japan did, where they had a U30 belt for wrestlers under 30, or a TV title. There's so many young, talented wrestlers in TNA that aren't necessarily X Division wrestlers, that the belt itself, I don't know, is almost obsolete for those competitors. But I wouldn't mind a resurgence in the division either. I mean, there's a lot of great X-Division wrestlers who haven't really got to show what they can do yet on TV. I think Jimmy Rave's amongst them. I think ourselves, we haven't had any X-Division style matches in quite some time. Homicide, people like that. That's good.
How was it beneficial or not beneficial working with former champion Kevin Nash? Did it help you, hurt you?
This is Chris. I'll say it. I mean, it was definitely beneficial inside and outside the ring. I mean, Nash is such a cool guy, and he always had really good advice on everything. And, I mean, just his experience, I mean, it's, you know, you got to
learn from his experience. You know, the guy's been everywhere and done everything, and he has a great sense of humor, and he's a great guy. I mean, inside and outside the ring, I mean, there's just a lot to learn from the guy, so I would say it was beneficial.
This is Alex. I would say it was 100% positive, and it definitely helped me a lot personally. I'll always be very grateful for TNA putting me with him. I learned a lot from him as far as how to work in the ring, as far as how to cut promos, as far as how to present yourself. I really value all the lessons I got to learn from him. You know, it was cool that TNA did put him with so many of the younger guys, because we all got to learn from him, and that's what wrestling's all about, I think.
You think, guys, that since Kevin Nash was there, they looked at Kevin Nash and they said, these guys look pretty cool. So with the combination of Nash, they got a better chance to look at you guys individually.
I think more so it was a matter of Kevin elevating us up to his level. If you notice those promos, Kevin treats us as equals.
Right.
He doesn't demean us at all. He doesn't talk down to us. And, you know, we're all from Detroit, too, so I think that worked in our favor.
Thanks. Questions for Alex. You had a run previously in TNA where you were paired up with the overly charismatic Goldilocks. You ended up leaving the company. What prompted you to want to come back, and how are you feeling about your run so far, your second run with TNA?
At the time, I just completed a tryout with WWE, and I could have pursued things there, I think. I was also wrestling full-time in Japan. And I really just wanted to come back to TNA so I would have something to do stateside while I was at home. I figured between wrestling for Ring of Honor and TNA and Japan, I'd be making some pretty good money, and I did for about 6 or 8 months before I signed my last TNA contract. But really, you know, at the time, they had some great competitors, and Scott D'Amore was a booker there. He's one of my trainers, and I trust him completely. The company on a whole just seemed like it was on an upswing. They had just gotten their deal with Spike TV finalized, too. I'm really glad I came back in the end, because I've been able to learn from a lot of great people and have some great matches since my return.
Question comes from Scott Fishman.
You guys have been, when it comes to the internet, you guys have been, you know, there's a lot of talk about you guys backstage or behind the scenes as it relates to you guys' personalities. I was just curious on, how do you think how much influence the internet actually has on the company and wrestling in general right now with storylines and characters?
This is Chris. I don't think the internet really has barely any influence, because, I mean, if wrestling just in general more so catered to the wrestling or the internet wrestling fans, I think wrestling would be a lot different. I think they're more concerned about the larger population of people than just the internet wrestling fans. Like, I mean, it doesn't seem like it to me, though, that they catered to them very much.
Well, this is Alex. I do think internet fans have a place in wrestling. I mean, they are fans after all. They do still spend money on the products, I assume. I don't really know the numbers. I don't look at them. But you can't cater to just one audience. You have to try and make everything enjoy some aspect of your show. As far as what's written about us on the internet, I really don't know what's written about us. But I can definitely tell you that people who are probably giving that information aren't in the know. And there's a lot of very jealous, very upset people out there who are angry with themselves and What can I say? You know, I don't believe everything you read.
Then comes from King Jordan.
Guys, what in your young careers could you look back and say, man, that was my best match ever?
It's a brutal one, man. I can't say, well, the best match is Chris, by the way. I don't think I could say the best match ever, but, I mean, I can say that some stick out in my head. And one of them, I would say, was our match with Dick Togo and Hidaka on New Year's this past year. I mean, that's a match that'll only stick out in my head. Our match that we had with the Briscoe brothers in Ring of Honor back last April, that match will only stick out in my head, too. I mean, it's hard to say. I don't really have, you know, that pinnacle of a match or anything, but those are a couple that stick out of my head.
Alex?
Definitely that match that Chris named with Dick Togo and Akito Hidaka in 0-1 match. I think Dick Togo is an incredible athlete, and he does work occasionally for New Japan, so maybe we'll see him pop up at TNA sooner or later. Our match with the Briscoes, I think, was very, very good.
I had a singles match against Chris before we won the 0-1 Max Junior Heavyweight Tag Team titles about a year and a half ago. It was actually in their Junior Heavyweight tournament, and I feel that was probably one of my best singles matches. But as of late, I would say some of my favorite matches have been on the TNA house shows. You get complete wrestling freedom. The fans are fantastic to perform in front of. And really, they're just a lot of fun, and they make you better. Having those kind of matches really give you a chance to think and try different things, and I really enjoy that.
Where did you guys train?
At the Can-Am Wrestling School in Windsor, Ontario.
And finally, do you know any information on the TNA video game?
Yeah, you know what? I mean,
you want me
not
to take
much
this?
Now. Yeah, go ahead, Steven.
The guns have a lot of information on the video game, but we've got several major events lined up with our partner Midway.
Okay.
And it's coming up very, very soon. We've got a lot of announcements here in the near future, but for
you guys
now,
are in it, right?
What's that?
You guys are in it, right?
Well, for now we can't say who's in and who's out, but I can tell everyone basically to stay tuned to TNAWrestling.com because in the next weeks, I would say weeks, days, and months, news is going to start to come out, and then some very big announcements are going to be made.
Oh, sorry, Dan. I hear that you're going to have a live show on the 27th. Is that accurate?
Oh, yeah, that's been announced.
Okay. How do you feel about that, guys?
About what is it?
That the TNA is going to have their first live show on the 27th of March.
Man, personally, that's fine with me. I mean, it'll basically just be our show taped just live. I mean, we do pay-per-views and everything, so I mean, I think it'll be pretty cool, though. I mean, it's a step for the company, so it's always
growing,
a good thing.
Growing.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot, guys, for your time.
You're welcome.
Our next question comes from Mike Johnson.
Hey guys, how are you doing?
Hello. Good.
You were talking about on the house shows you guys have wrestling freedom, and I guess in comparison to the TV tapings where things are a lot longer.
This is Chris. I think the wrestling part would be a lot cooler just because the matches are a lot longer.
Right.
I think more of that would definitely be cooler, but at the same time you have to have storylines to make the matches mean something and everything. I think the intimate settings of the house shows are also really cool because lately TNA has been running a lot of concert venues, which is really, really cool. I mean, it's got an intimate look and everything, and it's got, like, you know, just a really, really cool feeling to it. You know, the building has a real cool vibe, and even if, like, running a TV from one of the house show venues, I think would also be really cool. So,
as a tag team, what type of tapes or what teams are you guys studying? Because watching you guys, you can see a lot of the old Stan Lane, Bobby Eaton, Midnight Express in terms of the synchronized moves and things of that nature. And I've made that analogy a number of times in my writing. So I was just curious, what teams you guys take from and try to emulate or try to study?
This is Alex, and I thought it was pretty funny you said that. I think we both laughed a little bit. Believe it or not, for the past couple months, Jim Cornette's actually been coaching us. Probably about 2 or 3 months ago, he gave us a monster pack of DVDs that was Midnight Express, and he told us to watch them over Christmas break, and we did. And we've been picking apart a lot of their matches, and we've been influenced by them quite a bit, more so than probably any other tag team as of late. I don't know. Saban, can you think of anything else? I mean, I don't know. We admire tag teams that are true tag teams that, you know, use each other for everything, you know. Like, just like the Midnight Express did, you know, they use their opponents, you know, or they use their tag team partners as weapons and you know, and use them in the match to try to get it. And we appreciate tag team wrestling like that, where you're always involving your partner.
Now, Alex, watching you in the ring, it's obvious you're a huge fan of Dean Malenko. I was curious, what about Malenko's work first caught your attention? I was curious, who did Chris find to be an inspiration when he was breaking?
This is Alex. Believe it or not, I mean, I think Dean Malenko is one of the best wrestlers of all time. But as far as guys I look up to a lot and try and model myself after, he isn't necessarily one of them. However, when I watch him, I'm amazed at how fluid he is. he doesn't waste any movement. I know that's a rather cliched statement, but he looks so sure in everything he does. As far as technical wrestling goes, I mean, I'd be lying if I said I haven't watched a few Dean Malenko compilations. And as far as submissions and chain wrestling goes, he's unparalleled. But really, he's just gritty, and he's there, and he doesn't make anything look phony or fake, really. He just really manages to accentuate everything and make it look brutal without doing a whole lot at the same time, and I think that's pretty cool.
And Chris, who did you start to emulate? Who were you inspired by getting in?
I mean, growing up, I was really a big fan of, you know, Hulk Hogan and Bret Hart, obviously. When I started, like, in high school and stuff, and, like, around 1996, 97, 98, when the cruiserweights started getting big in WCW, that was what I really looked up to, because, you know, I was seeing all these smaller guys come into wrestling and get the spotlight at the time, and I'm like, wow, these guys are my size, like, I could really do this and everything. So, I mean, it's hard to say. I can't really name any one or two guys that I really try to emulate. I mean, there's just a lot of guys that I'm fans of, and I try to, you know, pick apart the things that I like from everything I see.
The last question was the Team 3D program in the blow-off match. It seemed like the focus was all put on Jay Lethal. Do you guys feel that you got any momentum coming out of the program, or do you think Jay pretty much was the recipient of all of that?
This is Alex. I definitely think we got a great rub from Wrestling Team 3D as many times as we have. I think Jay Lethal also got a huge rub from them as well. I think he looked like $1 million, and I think he was the star of that blow-off match. And rightfully so. He's a tremendous talent, and I think he should be pushed to the moon.
Oh, all right. Thanks, guys.
Our next question comes from Scott Fishman.
Guys, we mentioned the MTV special earlier, so I was just curious on what the experience was like for you and how you guys were chosen to actually be on the show.
This is Chris. We're actually chosen... Steven, who's actually running the conference call here, he's the one who actually hooked us up with it, which was, you know, cool of him. Our things go out to Steven. But, I mean, the experience was pretty hectic, man. I mean, the schedule was pretty brutal. In January, we had, like, 5 days off total just because of the taping, between wrestling and the taping of the show. I mean, there was, like, some early mornings, and there was a lot of, I don't know, I would just say that reality TV isn't as much of a reality as, you know, one would think.
excuse me, I'll jump in there. I thought maybe Alex had something to say. Just so everybody knows, MTV approached TNA about the program months ago. They came to TNA because of basically, I guess, when they started researching pro wrestling, they got on the internet and we had a positive buzz. And, you know, the kid was from Michigan, and it was a no-brainer to use the machine guns, and the guys go through an interview process, if any of you are familiar with casting agents, and it was literally one phone interview, and they knew it would just click, so that's basically how it went down.
Thank you, Steven.
You're welcome.
Our next question comes from Jason Clevitt.
Guys, tag team wrestling's really gone downhill probably since 2000-2001, and it seems like the weight of trying to bring tag team wrestling back is going on the shoulders of guys like you and the Briscoes. What are your thoughts on the state of tag team wrestling in 2008, and also what are your thoughts on going back to ROH for a couple of shows pretty quick coming up here?
Alex? Yep.
Hey, buddy.
I definitely think that tag team wrestling at one point consisted more of wrestlers that were thrown together rather than tag teams. However, I think in the past few years, I think ROH and TNA, for that matter, you've seen a resurgence of actual tag teams. I mean, really all over the world. As far as going back to Ring of Honor, I'm very excited about it. I think the Briscoes were one of our greatest sets of opponents, and I'm looking forward to locking horns with them again. It's a different atmosphere than we're used to at this point. It's a different crowd, and it's fun to challenge yourself, and it's fun to wrestle in front of different crowds and try and win them over. And not only that, it'll be nice to get a win over them too, the Briscoes, I mean.
Question comes from Steve Wilson.
Yeah, guys, you've been known both as the Motor City Machine Guns and the Murder City Machine Guns. You seemingly switched it shortly after you debuted it in TNA. I was wondering, since you had used both names for long periods of time, if there was one of the two names that you preferred to use.
Alex, honestly, it doesn't matter to me what you call us. Motor City, Murder City, Chris Sabin and Alan Shelley, we're still the same team regardless of what tag you put on us.
We have no more questions in queue.
Okay, guys, if anyone has any more questions, for like the next 10 seconds, go ahead and hit that and then let the operator know. If not, we're going to go ahead and wrap this up, so I'm going to give you guys one more chance to ask any other questions. And operator, if you could tell me if they do that.
Just a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star, then the number 1 on your telephone keypad.
I guess we got radio silence, so that means a bunch of satisfied customers. Wanted to thank everybody again for calling in. We'll see you next month. Again, let me hit all my points home. Made airs 12 Eastern Saturday afternoon on MTVD featuring the Motor City Machine Guns. And also, I'll go ahead and throw this out as a spoiler for you guys. The Motor City Machine Guns, I've forgotten to tell you guys this, they are not even close to all the TNA talent that appears on this show. So, wrestling fans, it is very cool to check out the show to see all the different TNA talent that's going to pop up, and you really do get a great behind-the-scenes look at how things go down in the Impact Zone. So definitely check that out. Spike TV tonight, TNA Impact. You can go directly to TNAWrestling.com for what you could consider basically a threefold main event throughout the program. It's just going to be an absolutely amazing night, and we're going to reveal the rest of the card for Destination X, which is this Sunday in Norfolk, Virginia. If you've got any questions about tickets, you can check out the website. Usual time on pay-per-view. And just a quick plug, our house shows, we're going to make another run through the Mid-Atlantic next week. On March 12th, we go to Aiken, South Carolina. March 13th, Salem, Virginia. March 14th, we've got a huge show, could be one of our biggest ever, in Pikeville, Kentucky. After that, we're headed to the Midwest. The live event will be March 27th, Thursday night, in Orlando. We've got a lot of events going on around that. And we will be back out on the road, the Midwest, the Northeast, all over. So stay tuned for all the live event breaking information on TNAWrestling.com. And I thank everybody for calling in today.